right. Well, good morning. How are we doing today? Are you excited today? Are you on fire? Do you know that this is the last day of 2023? Yes. Are you sad? No. Are you glad? Yes. Yes, because it's a new year. And whenever there's a new year, it means new opportunity. And it means that there is the potential for great things to happen. And all of the things that we've learned over the past year, now we can start fresh based on our wisdom, our knowledge, and all that we have obtained over this past year, we can put it to good use. Are you ready? Are you ready for it? Hallelujah. Well, it's going to be great. What an amazing time we've had over this past year, how God has done so much for us, how he's provided, how he's made a way, even when we were going, oh God, how are you going to do it? Last year at this time, we were in this building, it was dust. Do you remember that? Oh yeah. Yeah, we were into a 10-week transformation that turned this sanctuary into a sanctuary from doctor's offices, right? And boy, was that fun. Aren't you glad it's over? Well, praise God. How exciting to see what God has done. It just blows my mind when I think about it. Next month, in February 6th, we're going to have our building dedication banquet, and it's a Saturday, so make sure you guys are clear your calendar for that. And wow, we're going to kind of go through the transformation and how everything was changed over, and just take the time and the opportunity just to give thanks to God for all those who were a part of this and who helped us and who were all involved, which we all did, right? It was all of us. This was a completely church-wide movement that everyone participated in so many ways, and so many others that contributed and helped us from our FCA family. And you and I have experienced the miracle-working power of God. And it is incredible what God has done. And we're still cooking along. And we are so thankful that, well, this place is ours. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Isn't that a beautiful thing? Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Is that huge. It's so funny to think we paid in rent what we're paying for this building. And you and I are able to testify as to the goodness of God, how much the Lord cares for his people and how much he provides. And it's just a wonderful and exciting thing. And I'm just so grateful and thankful. And so we are talking about fulfilling the promises of God. This month is our theme where we reflect on how even Jesus, being born into the world, came as a child. It was the fulfillment of a promise that goes all the way back to Genesis. And God sent his son. He sent his son Jesus because he was the only one who had the ability to completely deliver us as a people and set us free. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Hallelujah. And that is powerful because it means that God, he loved us that much, that he gave his only begotten son. He sacrificed his own son for our benefit. And the beauty in that is it's not about the masses of the people. It's about individuals. God knew each of us. He understood our personal needs. He understands your personal needs. He He knows your situation, your circumstances. He understands the fact that there is no other way out for you and me. There is no other hope, only through Christ. And he sent Jesus to accomplish that for us because we couldn't do it ourselves. And we still can't do it ourselves. Isn't that right? We still can't. We still fall short of the glory of God. And as a result, what happens? Well, the Holy Spirit comes, right? The Holy Spirit has come, and he ministers to us, and he helps us to come in alignment, to come correct. And that's a beautiful thing, that even after what Jesus did on the cross, we still mess up. And nonetheless, the Holy Spirit comes, and he brings correction to our lives. He ministers to us. He gives us guidance. He brings healing and restoration. And even as we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Isn't that right? I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as God has presented Jesus as a good gift, he is the very gift that you and I are experiencing as we go through life. It is the reality of the fact that when sin came into the world, it destroyed life as God designed it to be. And that is why Christ came into the world. And it is historically factual, these things that the Word of God accounts for. And we know for a fact that these things don't just happen. In fact, the more you study science, the more it points to the reality of God. And you and I are a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And it is incredible to see the magnitude of detail that God went to in order to bring life to us, that we, you and I, may not just have life, but everlasting life, eternal life. And life from the beginning was designed to be eternal, which is why your body heals itself, right? The body heals itself because that's part of God's plan for longevity. And it was sin that, even though the body has a limited amount of ability to heal itself at this point, it is because of God's divine design. And you and I are able to recognize the power of God even by looking in the mirror. Every time you look in the mirror, it is an opportunity to say, God, you're amazing. God, you're amazing. And so we are looking at how Jesus came into the world in order to fulfill the scripture, the call of God, the will of God. And Jesus tells us that he is coming again. It is the ultimate promise that he has made. Jesus is coming again. Do you know that Jesus is coming again? In fact, we are told to look up, the Word of God says, because our redemption draws nigh. And you and I have to learn how to look up because the world is designed to cause you to look down. It is designed to pull you down because of the nature of sin and how it is working out in the world. Sin, it kills, it drains and depletes you of life. That is why the world is so full of depressed people, oppressed people, people who are in all types of bondage and using all types of substances just to try to stay functional. But God says there is no other source of life than God himself. And we need the power and the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding of God working in our lives. We need the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. And as we meditate on the Word of God and apply its principles in our lives, the strength of God is imparted to us. And the promises of God are manifested among us. I would like to use as a theme today, look up. Look up. Well, are you ready for the Word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Lord, we rebuke the devourer and every hindering spirit that would try to bind the people of God and restrict their ability to receive of the Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would manifest yourself among us here today, even as we transition into this new year of 2024. I ask, God, that you would enable us to keep our eyes upon you, looking to the hills, looking up, you as the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the one who is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. You, oh God, who has come not to condemn the world, but that the world might indeed be saved. Lord, we thank you for all these things that you have promised in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God is one who fulfills promises. And one of the things that you and I have to adapt to when we come to Christ is that understanding that the word of God is true, that it is authentic. It is not only historically accurate, but it is scientifically substantiated. And you and I are able to trust in the word of God. We're not just believing blind faith. It's not just, well, just believe just because. No, the evidence supports the facts of the word of God. And the word of God, it is true. In fact, the word of God says it is quick and powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, even able to separate the joints and the marrow of the bones. You and I are not just believing in fairy tales or in things that are not true. Over the history of mankind, people have not believed in God because he doesn't exist or because he's not real, but they believe because of the evidence. There is proof that even the most simplistic individuals on the planet understand the reality of God. And they may not understand all that the word of God explains and details, but they at least have the wherewithal to recognize that there is a creator who has created all these things. And no one in their right mind sees any complex thing and says it just happened randomly. And no one in their right mind can say that a brand new car randomly happened. What if your car drove off by itself? Well, I guess it could do that, couldn't it? But how about it goes to the next step and says, people didn't create me. We were created by machines in a factory. Well, there's some truth to that, isn't there? Us machines, we're smarter than the average human being. Well, there might be some truth to that, too. We have more wisdom and knowledge. We are able to do abundantly more than people could even think we could do. Well, there's some truth to that, isn't it? And so, what if all of a sudden these mechanical devices decided that people are not worth keeping around? Who believes in people anymore? We don't need them. They're just fictitious nonsense. And isn't that what people have done to God? The very created thing has come to the point in its own perspective and intellectual assessments in their own mind and have said the creator is not real and he is not worth paying any attention to because it's all fantasy. And you and I are seeing this as it is being played out even here in 2024, as we go into this new year, and it will progressively become more and more of a reality. And who hasn't seen the sci-fi movies where the robots take over the Earth, right? Why? Because that is a very potential threat because of AI technology and all the other things that are taking place around us. And you and I are doing the same thing. I find it so interesting because the same thing that human beings have done to God, now people are concerned that robotic technology is going to do the same to humanity. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because they're thinking the way people think. And you and I are called to look up, to look unto God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The Word of God promises that God will do all that he has said he would do. How many promises are there in the Word of God? Well, it's estimated that there are about 8,810 promises in the Word of God. And the Word of God is important because it's not just one book. I know we call it a Bible, but the Bible is really like an encyclopedia of books. It's more of a collection of books. It's, as we know, 66 books, so it's not circular reasoning to actually use Genesis to support the rest of the Bible or any other book to support other portions of the scripture, but it is indeed historical accounts. And we know there are different types of books within the Word of God. There are historical books. There is poetry. And there is prophecy. And there are all kinds of things that are written within on thousands of different subjects that relate to humanity and mankind. And when you meditate on the Word of God, it will transform your life. It will change your heart as it renews your mind. And that is why there is a war in the spirit to keep you from the Word of God, to separate you from the Word of God. The more ignorant you are of the promises of God, the more likely you will be to be discouraged in life, to be cast down, to find yourself in a place of discouragement and suffering and being in a place where you have no hope. You become hopeless. And now you just become an earth being wandering around the planet trying to survive the economy and avoid sickness and disease so that you can somehow live. And this is the mindset of the world around us today. And we are so concerned about the things of this life and of this world when this is all temporary, because Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, he will come in a way that will transform the earth. And so, of the promises that are written in the Word of God, 7,400 of them are promises to humanity, to you and I, to the people that live here on the planet. And of these promises, there are 1,845 in the Old Testament alone that speak of Christ's promise to return. God keeps his promises. We've already established the fact that God keeps his promises. In the New Testament, there are 318 promises that Christ will return. The things that have been written and established can be trusted. Jesus is coming again. He is returning. And so ultimately the question is, can we trust God? Can we depend on the Word of God? How many of God's promises does he keep? All of them, absolutely. He keeps all of his promises. You and I can trust that what the Word of God says, it will come to pass. God keeps his promises. And so when we think of God, we think of how he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and how when we look up, oh, there is nothing but hope looking up. When we look to God, it is his provision. Do you ever notice how it could be cloudy and rainy down here on the ground, but when you get above the clouds, it's sunny? Isn't that awesome? Sometimes you need to be reminded of that. On the rainy day when it's raining, it says, oh, it's a dreary day. Poke your head up above the clouds and take a look around. And it looks like this. It looks like it's a bright, sunny day, like everything is beautiful. Why? Because where God is, this is how it is. The sun is shining. Life is bright. Life is grand, and God is doing abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. Jesus promised to return. When Christ comes into your life, he brightens everything up. He breathes life into you. He enables you to overcome in your mentality, in your thinking. He helps you so that you can see what you otherwise would not be able to see. And so in Matthew 24, probably one of the most popular chapters that talk about the coming of Christ and the second advent, you and I are able to see and know that God is faithful to his promises. It says in verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and they said, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And I thought this was interesting because the disciples had an understanding that all of this is a reality. Not that it might happen, but they wanted to know when. It was a fact. They knew that there was an end coming. Why? Because God said there would be an end. There would be a promise of God coming back to redeem his people. It says, for many will come in my name, Jesus says, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Do you know that there are people right here in Orange County that are claiming to be Christ? Oh, there are cults that exist here in the county that follow after a man who says he is Jesus. And you and I are living in a day and age where this is already happening. And you and I can certainly understand the importance of not being misled, not being deceived. Deception is not easy to avoid all the time. Anybody who has an email address or text messaging knows deception is always coming at you. And it's just a matter of time before you click on a link or something, thinking it's one thing, but it turns out to be something else. And you and I are in the age of great deception. Deception is being propagated from the pulpits of governmental authorities all the way down to churches where people are believing a lie. And you and I have to learn how to trust in the truths of God's word. We are hearing propaganda and lies and the misquoting of facts and misstating of facts. It's being taught in schools where they're literally mispresenting facts in order to deceive people and steer them away from God. It's a deliberate movement because it's demonic at its root. And when we understand that the world is under the authority of the prince and the power of the air, Satan, and he is the great deceiver. That is why when Jesus spoke to the disciple, when he spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, he explained to them among the disciples that they were of their father, the devil. Their father, the devil. And these were religious leaders. These religious leaders were people who knew the word of God, yet they were doing evil deeds. And it was because they were under the inspiration of a demonic entity. And the people of this world, of this life, are under demonic influence. The world is under demonic influence. And that is why salvation is so important in the lives of the people. And when we come into a relationship with God and his word begins to come alive in our hearts, we are now able to experience newness of life. It is what the word of God does. It's what the word of God says. And the word of God tells us that we were born in sin. Isn't that right? But that means you're born under satanic influence and authority. And that is why Christ had to come, because there is a spiritual influence that overwhelms the world, and the only way to overtake and overcome a spiritual influence is with another spiritual influence. And that is why you need the Spirit of God. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the power of God. How do we get to that place without the Word of God? We need the Word of God that renews our mind and transforms our lives. It is the Word that caused all of creation to come into being. God spoke, and it all came into existence. The words that are spoken in a person's life will dictate the direction and the authority to which that life is being influenced. And that is why we need to be under the influence of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God. And as we meditate on the Word of God, it brings clarity of mind. It helps us to see clearly. It gives us a sense of purpose and direction, because otherwise you have nothing. Because the world will drop you like a hot potato once you buy in to their philosophies. Now you're on your own, because after all, you're not really anything. And so you and I are called to be focused and to pay attention so that we are not misled. And he goes on and he says, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. Do you see that? See that you are not frightened. You and I can easily be frightened. Remember that thing they called COVID, right? People were petrified. They were scared to death. Well, the Word of God says, see that you are not frightened. When you see all these things taking place, when evil is being manifested all around, the Spirit of God has the ability to sustain us as a people. We can trust in the Lord, and we can look to Him as the author and finisher of our faith. We can know that He is able and do abundantly above and beyond we could ever ask or imagine. Where is your faith in God? This is what we are called to have. And as we meditate on the Word of God, it brings life to us. There's no other way to get life except by meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God in and of itself enables us to experience the Spirit of God. And the Word of God will renew your mind and your thoughts, and will help you to see in a way that you otherwise would not even be able to perceive, because the Holy Spirit will bring revelation to you. That is what God does. And it's designed to function that way so that you will learn to be dependent on God and not people. And so you and I learn how to trust in God as we become more connected with His Word and allow the Spirit of God to manifest Himself in our lives. And so he says these things must take place, but that it is not yet the end. Well, we see wars and we hear rumors of wars. In fact, Israel's at war right now, and there are all kinds of things that are going on in Ukraine and Russia, and all these different places around the world are experiencing various forms of turmoil and challenges and difficulties. They're all around us, but God says, don't be frightened. And he says, the end is not yet. Hallelujah. The end is not yet. He says nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes, and there will be pestilence and disease. The Word of God tells us in other places that will permeate the world such so that a third of the earth's population will die from disease in the last days. COVID was nothing. And so God is saying to us to be prepared, be ready, to know that these things must happen in order to fulfill the Word of God. That's what's so awesome about knowing the Word of God. I pray that 2024 is a year that you learn the Word of God and that you are meditating on it, that it becomes a part of your life so that you can see and prepare and keep looking up. You and I were called to look up. He says this, verse 8, all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Oh, we haven't seen anything yet. Oh, saints of God, don't allow the things happening in the world to frighten you. Keep looking up. Keep looking to God. Keep trusting in the Lord. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And you and I are called to trust in God, to watch and see and know that God is doing a magnificent work in the earth. There is a work and a move of the Spirit of God taking place in the earth. And even as people rebel more and more against God, the people of God are to draw all the more closer to Him. And you and I are called to look and trust in God. And so the signs of His coming, the return, are in the news today. We are seeing the things that the Word of God prophetically spoke of thousands of years ago already happening in the news today. We must be prepared, and we must be about the Lord's business. We must be about God's business, and it is because God is redeeming His people. God is in the process of redeeming His people, and so we look up. We look up. We're not afraid, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And so in verse 9, it says, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. How popular is it to be a Christian today? Oh, you think it's going to get any better? Oh, my goodness, it's not. You can be anything. You can be a terrorist, and people will have more respect for you than being a Christian. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You absolutely can. At least they're afraid of the terrorists. They're like, oh, don't bother them. Come on, kids. Yes, yes, everything's beautiful. But when you say you're a Christian, oh, you believe in those fairy tales? Oh, you believe it. Oh, God isn't real. There's no such thing. Yes, in your life, that is true. You have no God operating in your life because you've rejected Him, because you've turned your back on Him, because you have taken on the mentality of your father, the devil. And you now are buying into his lie. In fact, the scripture describes Satan as the father of lies. He is the author of all things that are false. In fact, it says he cannot speak the truth. Wow, think about that. Satan cannot speak the truth. Then that means the people under his influence cannot speak the truth either. That's why when you go to court, they say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. And then they say, I don't want to put my hand on that Bible, no. Bring me an encyclopedia. Why? Because there's no power in an encyclopedia. There's no power in other. Raise your right hand. What does that mean? Raise your left hand. Raise your right hand. How about the left foot? Can you hop up and down? Yes. It means nothing. Well, without God, there is nothing else to substantiate truth by. And you and I are going to be hated. People are not going to like the fact that you and I are the people of God. But the awesome thing is that God has proven throughout history that the people of God are under His divine cover. And He covers His people. He breathes life into us. He sustains us. He watches over us. Why? Because His word has been hidden in our hearts. And because the Word of God is within us, the life of God also is within us. And we are the people of God, and He watches over us. And so you and I are not only hated by because of the name of the Lord, but we are also covered by the Spirit of the Lord, because this life is only temporary, because there is life that is to come. And when you leave this body, you will still be you. You will still be you, and you will be fully conscious and fully aware of who you are and everything. You'll just be in a different place. And so that is why the scripture says, don't fear those who can only kill the body, but fear the one who can destroy both soul and body. And so you and I have the ability to have life that perpetuates life. God is able to do and enable us to overcome. And no matter what the world says or thinks, it doesn't change the reality of the facts. And the facts are that Jesus came into this world to die, to cover our sin debt, to breathe life into us, and to enable us to come into the place where he is, a place that he is preparing for us, so that you and I might have life and have it everlasting. And he says in verse 10, at that time, many will fall away. Many people will turn away from their faith in God and will betray one another and hate one another. And we saw that during COVID, right? People pointed, put on that mask. You didn't get a, And Christians. And so you and I have to be careful that we're not being deceived by the world, making us function and operate according to a fallen mentality, a mindset that is not of God, but that is evil at its roots. And so the Word of God has already given us warning. God is helping us to see so that we can prepare ourselves for these last days. We can be established. It says many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. People who claim to be representing the truth and the Word of God, and they will be indeed misleading people. And that is why we cannot believe everything we see on YouTube and follow all of these social media posts, and you've got this one and that one, and they're doing all kinds of stuff, and they've got all kinds of things happening, and they say, oh, it's a move of God. Well, don't be deceived, saints of God. Don't you be deceived. You and I are called to hold to the truth of God and his word. The Spirit of God is at work in the midst. There is no denying the work of the Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That is real. Hallelujah. You can't fake the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can't fake that. You cannot fake the move of the Spirit of God. You cannot fake the Spirit of God bringing life to people. You cannot fake the reality that Christ rose from the dead. Hallelujah. The Word of God is true. And you and I can trust in the facts of the Word of God. And so, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. You see that? Are we not in a day and age where people's love has grown cold? Look at the children of today. They have no love in them at all. They really could care less. They're coming against their parents, and they have no sense of respect. You can't teach them things because they know everything. And there's all kinds of things that are happening in people's lives all around the world simply because of lawlessness. Now you can commit a crime, you can be out in like 20 minutes after you get it. They won't be done with the paperwork, but the criminal will be walking out, right? They go to jail, they stay there, they get a couple of meals, they eat, they get a nice rest and respite. You know, maybe they take a course or a class while they're there. They come out with a PhD, and then they go back to thievery again. Right? I'm talking about 2023. We'll see 2024. Probably the same thing. And so lawlessness is increased, and people's love will grow cold, and it is already happening all around us. It says, the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Can you endure to the end? Can you hold on to your faith in God until the end? Can you trust in God to the end? Oh, but he who endures. I love when God says, but he who endures to the end, he will be saved. You and I, we will be saved. You can trust in God. Oh, if God's not real, all those people, they will just find themselves in a new reality, and they will wake up realizing that they're in the, what does VeggieTales call it? The fire pit. Yes. Oh, yes. You will find yourself in the fire pit. And God is saying, I don't want you in the fire pit. I want you around it roasting marshmallows, yes, and hot dogs. And you and I, we are called to trust in the Lord, to endure to the end, to know that our salvation, our redemption draws nigh. Verse 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world. And it says that it will be a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. And then the end will come. And so approximately 2.9 billion people, which represents 29% of the world, do not have access to the gospel today. In this day and age, 2.9 billion, that's a third. That means there is work to be done. That means you and I are called to go into the world to preach the gospel, to bring the gospel to these unreached people groups and to these people who have no access to the word of God so that they too can experience the power of God in their lives and the Spirit of God working in their lives. And I thought of a story, and I don't have a lot of time, but, it reminds me of this story about how I was talking to some missionaries a few years ago, and they were missionaries that were going to some of these unreached people groups in parts of Africa and the Middle East. And as they went in, they came upon this village, and in the village, they were talking to the people about Jesus. And they said, well, we've heard of this Jesus. And they said, well, how could you have heard of this Jesus? And they said, well, we've seen him. And so he said, well, what do you mean you've seen Jesus? And so they said, oh, yes, he would come here and he would meet. But there's a woman who would pray and he would meet with her and he would read or speak poetry to her. And so they were intrigued. They said, well, can we talk to this woman? Let's go to her. And they went to this woman, and the woman was there, and she came out, and she says, oh, yes, absolutely. I know this Jesus. He was a prophet. He's like a speaker. It was like a man who would come, and he would walk with me, and he would speak poetry to me. And he said, wow, well, what did he say? And she said, well, he would say things, and she began to say things that were in the Psalms. And so they said, that is biblical. That is in the Bible. And so she says, I don't really remember everything off the top of my head, she said, but there's another lady in the village down the way, and she actually wrote it down because she met with him too. And so now they're really intrigued because here's two people. So they said, can we meet her? And so the next day they went and they met with this woman. And so they met her, and they talked to her, and they said to her, what is it that this man said to you? And she says, oh, well, he said many things to me. In fact, him and I would walk down this very road, and we would go down this road at night. He would come at night, and I would walk with him down the road, and then I would come back. And then he would read this poetry to me, or he would cite this poetry to me. And so I was writing it down. They said, yes, yes, that's what we want to see. And so they said, can we see what you wrote down? So she said, oh, yes. So she went, and she got her pad. And when she got it, it was written in her language. And the interpreter began to read it. And he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And he began to read, and it was excerpts from the Gospels, and excerpts from the Psalms. He read Psalm 1, Psalm 2, some excerpts from Psalm 91, Psalm 119. It's different places in the Word of God. She had it all written down, but she had never had a Bible. No one in that entire village or area had a Bible. But yet God was showing up. Somehow, the Lord showed up and ministered to these people, and they knew of the Lord. And so when we say 2.9 billion people, well, is that really the truth? I don't know. in terms of our numbers as the church or the people of God, that's according to our account. But how many other people around the world that have not had the Word of God translated into their language are having these encounters by the Spirit of the Lord? Well, we don't know, which means we could be a lot further along in this than we realize, which means Jesus could return sooner than we think. And so you and I are not dealing with something that is just a random thing, but it is the power of God at work. The Spirit of God is at work. And when you and I are able to look at the Word of God, we are looking at the very life-giving essence of the Spirit of God. Verse 26 of 24 says, "So if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or, 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe them." Why? Because the deceivers are out there. They're trying to deceive you and I. He says, "For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." Jesus will return. Jesus is coming again. And saints of God, you and I can trust that the Word of God is true. In fact, the world will see him when he comes. The Word of God clearly states that it will be like thunder and lightning flashing through the sky when Jesus returns. He's not going to slip in unaware and show up at some church preaching in the pulpit going, "Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm here. It's me, Jesus." Oh, no. But the world will see him. He is coming in a flash like lightning and thunder. The world will see him when he comes. Acts 1:10 says, as Jesus was ascending up into the heavens, it says that as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going up, behold, two men in white, and some translations say dazzling clothes. I love that, dazzling. In white, they stood beside the disciples, and it says that they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Oh, saints of God, this is a promise that you and I can trust, that Jesus is coming again. You and I need to prepare ourselves. Be ready and know that you can trust in the Word of God. Luke 21:20 says, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies," wait, wasn't that in the news? I think that was in the news. "Then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled." The fulfillment of the promises of God. When we see all these things happening in the news around the world, it is all these things that have been written. They have been prophetically laid out, and they will be fulfilled. And saints of God, you and I are living in exciting times because we are able to see as God prepares the world for his return. And you and I are able to trust that God is indeed faithful. It says, "Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves." And you see this great interest. You know, they say the new frontier is the the ocean, hallelujah, down underwater. And you and I, we can know that God is stirring even in the waters. There will be a great perplexity and the roaring of the sea and the waves. There will be a shift and a change coming. And you and I, we're always hearing about climate change and all these things, but really it's a move of God. It's a stirring of the waters of God. God is at work preparing for his return. It says, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Saints of God, this is a promise to be fulfilled. I can assure you, you think people are frightened because of COVID. You think people are still frightened because they're afraid they're going to catch something. Ooh. But I can assure you, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse because these are the last days. These are the days in which we are preparing for the return of Christ, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Hallelujah. And so then it says they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Oh, saints of God, you won't miss the second coming of Jesus. You won't miss Christ's return. Oh, you will know when it comes. And I just pray that you are ready when he comes. I pray that your neighbors and your coworkers and your family members, I pray that they are ready when Jesus comes. All you have to do is look for the signs. Just watch what's taking place around the world. It's not all by chance. It's not by accident. It's by prophetic mandate of the promises of God. And the Spirit of God is at work. And that's why he goes on and he says, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you're straightening up. Oh, straighten up. Don't allow your heart to be brought down. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. But look up, saints of God. Look up. Because your redemption draws nigh. The Spirit of the Lord is at work in the midst of the world. And there is a move of the Spirit of God. You can trust in the name of the Lord your God. You can trust that he is able to sustain you and to keep you. And he is one who is coming. And he is coming to bring life to those whom he has redeemed. And so these are the times of preparation. Don't be afraid, saints of God, but be ready. Be ready. Your redemption draws near. Know that the Lord is indeed at work, even though it may not seem like he is. It may not seem as if he is doing anything, but I can assure you that he's already at work. He's already set these things in motion. And God, just like humanity, can have AI technology create things and make things happen as they're programmed to work. God has programmed the creative world to work and function on its own without him even having to do anything. He can sit back and take an Uber ride through history and through his creative works. Just as people can ride in autonomous cars today, life is autonomous, and the Spirit of God has set it in motion, and the Word of God is the programming that it is running on. And it doesn't matter how it looks. You can look at the pretty pictures. You can look at how wonderful all these magnificent creative things are that man is doing, but they're all established according to the handiwork of God. It's divine programming. You and I are the most sophisticated technology that ever existed in the history of creation. And it is because God did it. It is what he does. And what he does well. He does well. Oh, saints of God, I don't know how you could believe such other nonsense that is being propagated in the world today, when you see the evidence around you every single day. always happening over and over and over again. And that's why in verse 36 of 24 in Matthew, it says, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Oh, saints of God, angels are real. I can tell you that. Oh, they are real. There is a real Son of God, and his name is Jesus. And he has been sent by the Father. In fact, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Saints of God, you and I are part of this redemptive work of God. We are the people of God. We are called by his name. His Spirit dwells in us. The Word of God tells us that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to God. And that means you're of the evil one. And that is why you need the Spirit of the Lord to fill your heart, to renew your mind, and allow his word to be manifesting and stirring within you so that life can be perpetuated over and over and over again. And so, as Matthew 25, 13 says, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you are ready. I pray that you are making yourself ready, that you are preparing for the coming of the Lord. We don't know when it's going to be, but we do know it is coming and it is on its way sooner than we realize. And we can trust that the promises of God will be fulfilled. And even as Hebrews says in chapter 9, it says, just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. The saints of God, you only die once, and after that, there's judgment. And that is because your eternal soul will live on forever. Everybody lives forever. The question is where? Hallelujah. And so I pray that you understand the truths of God's word and that you're trusting in the Lord. Verse 28 says, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Oh, my Lord, I pray that you're excited about this today. Are you eagerly waiting for him? Don't let the enemy rob you of your ability to have excitement for the things of God, for the kingdom of God, the fact that he is coming again. Get excited, my friends. Allow the Spirit of God to stir your heart. These are the times of preparation. Don't be afraid. Are you ready? Are you ready, saints of God? Are you ready for his return? Your redemption draws nigh. And even as Revelation says in chapter 1, verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Amen and amen. Saints of God, this is an exciting transition. We are transitioning from 2023 to 2024. I pray that you are ready. I pray that you are looking up to the clouds, because he is coming again. You will see him. You will not miss the great event as God reveals himself to his people, even like thunder and lightning as it comes from the east to the west. No matter where you are, you will see that Jesus is coming. He will come just as the thunder, just as the lightning. And no matter whether you're in the city or you're in the country or you're in the hills or wherever you are, you will see God will reveal himself when he comes. I pray that you're excited about that. I pray that you have faith and trust in the Lord, and that you know that he is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. Look up. Look up, saints of God. Your redemption draws nigh. The promises of Jesus are being fulfilled. Amen? Amen. Join us as we close. Yeah, come on.
Let you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of
allow the enemy to rob you of your joy. No matter how bad things look, no matter how difficult things seem to be, know that your redemption draws nigh. Know that God is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. He is a God who saves. He is a God who heals, delivers, and sets free. And maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I pray that you make that decision today. There are a lot of people who have all of the information, but they have not surrendered their hearts. And I pray that you are willing to surrender your heart, because when you surrender your heart to God, God will bring revelation to your mind. It is part of the programming. It's the way things are designed to work. And if your heart is resistant towards God, then God will not reveal his mysteries to you. And so you and I have to learn how to call upon the name of the Lord if we want to be delivered, to trust in the Lord, and he will make our path straight. And if we can just allow God to be God and not try to second guess the one who created all these things that have been set in motion, then you and I can experience life as it was designed to be experienced. And so I pray that you would receive the Lord today, and that you would ask Jesus, just ask God to come into your heart. Just say a simple prayer like, "Dear Lord, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for rebelling against you and doing things, living life my own way. And allow me, God, to experience the newness of life that you have promised in your word. I believe that you died on the cross just for me, and that you gave yourself for me. And Lord, I need a Savior. And I ask, God, that you would deliver me from all evil, and that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may have the power to serve you, to hear your voice and follow you, and have the ability to overcome every obstacle of the enemy, that I would be able to live in this day and age and overcome every form of deception that would work against me personally, that I would be able to live life victoriously in the strength and the power of God, with a love for the word of God as it gives life to me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen." Well, I pray that you prayed that prayer, and that that is a prayer that is treasured in your heart, that you may know him for yourself. If you desire prayer, the altars are open. And we thank you for coming out today to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. And I pray that you will join us tonight at 9 p.m. as we ring in the new year, and that we will be able to testify of the goodness of the Lord as we share together. And so enjoy the rest of your day, and know that the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, but he is with you even to the end of the age. Look up and know that your redemption draws nigh. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Sing, sing, sing.